So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12, Text 21, chapter entitled Vritrasura's Glorious Death. So we'll all vigorously chant the mantra. Please repeat. Kalvidam Mahad Ascharyam Yad Rajah Prakrites Tava Vasudeve Bhagavati Satvamani Dridha Matihi Kalvidam Mahad Ascharyam Yad Raja Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Satvamani Dridamati Kalvidam Mahat Ascharyam Yad Raja Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sadvamani Dridamati Kalvidam Mahad Ascharyam Yad Raja Prakritestava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sadvamani Dridamati Matihi. Mataji's. So, please repeat. Kalu, indeed, idam, this, mahat ascharyam, great wonder, yet, which, rajaha, influenced by the mode of passion, prakritehe, whose nature, tava, of you, Vasudeve, in Lord Krishna, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sattva Atmani, who is situated in pure goodness, Trida, firm, Matihi, consciousness. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. O Vritrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is always situated in pure goodness. Please repeat. O Vitrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is always situated in pure goodness. Purport Srila Prabhupada. King Indra wondered how Vitrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narada Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vitrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore he was struck with wonder that Vitrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna, Vasudev. Please repeat. Mukham karochi vachalam phangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam kalva idam mahad aishcharyam yad raja prakritestavaha vasudeve bhagavati satvamani tridamatihi. O Vitrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. So, this is Kshatriya spirit. They're fighting to the death on the battlefield, but they appreciate each other. And the particular point here is that Indra is realizing more and more that this is the devotee I'm fighting, and therefore he's in a confusion. Even before the battle, I was reading last night, even before the battle, Indra had reservations because Vitrasura is the brother of Vishwarup, whom Indra had killed previously, and he's Tasta. Tasta is his father, and he had performed a yajna upon the killing of Vitrasura by Indra to create a personality who would kill Indra for killing his son. Tasta, he is the father of Vitrasura and a great rishi, great sage. So before the battle, Indra knew all these things. I've already got into so much trouble for killing Vishwarup. I had to put the sinful reaction in four places: women, land, water, and trees. Yeah, the tree. So the tree, they got the benediction that if they were cut, they would grow back. Generally, human beings can't do that. If somebody chops our arm off, it'll not grow back. But a tree has that benediction throughout the kingdom of the plants, so that they can overcome such activity. So the land, we take it for granted that we dig big ditches in the land. Oh, but this, they took the sinful reaction in the form of sap bleeds from trees here and there, and sap is the blood of the tree. So also the land, we dig holes in the land, ditches and so on, without thinking. But actually the land is the body of Bhumidevi. Now you can imagine, it wouldn't be nice if people were always scouring grooves in your body, but that's actually what's going on with Bhumidevi. People think that the material world is just inanimate. They don't understand that there's a deity in charge of all the entities, and earth is overseen by Bhumidevi, and the earth is her body. But the benediction was that even though people will make grooves in you, dig up, they will be naturally covered up. Therefore, you find that if the farmers leave their fields, they generally smoothen out. Dust, land movement, bukam even. So then women took it in the form of the sinful reaction in the form of the menstrual period. Very inconvenient, very emotional, difficult time. That is the sinful reaction. But they got the benediction in return that they would enjoy intercourse at any time. Generally mammals, they come into heat, and the woman doesn't want any coitus outside that time period. But women, human form, they got the benediction that they would always enjoy sexual activity, even during pregnancy. So if that's a benediction, you can consider it such. And then what was left? The water. The water got the benediction that it would increase the volume of whatever with which it was mixed. And the sinful reaction came in the form of foam. So therefore you should avoid foam when you're gathering water. You shouldn't drink foam on water. It's generally contaminated. And then the other one is? That's all of them. The land, women, trees and water. So this is a big problem. Killing Brahmins is not recommended in the scripture. Particularly great self-realized ones situated in Bhava. And this is the condition that Indra is realizing now. This isn't just an ordinary personality, it is a great devotee. Even in the middle of the battlefield, he's discussing devotional service to the Supreme Lord. He's glorifying the Supreme Lord. So here we see Indra, himself a devotee, appreciates that. Now they're both great Kshatriya, or at least acting in that way. Vitrasura is the son of Thasta, who's a great rishi. But anyway, he's acting as a Kshatriya. He was composed in that way through the fire yajna. Bring a great personality to chastise Indra. So this is Kshatriya spirit. Even though they're fighting each other, they appreciate each other. They're not nasty, malicious, envious type of people nowadays. I was just listening to a lecture by Prabhupada, and he was saying that the Kshatriyas, they must learn the art of fighting. They were allowed to go to the forest and kill animals hunting because they have to learn to kill. So this is a very strong thing. And then Prabhupada went on to say that actually the British, they took over India 250 years, and they extended their kingdom very nicely once they got hold of the British India, particularly because they enlisted the Gurkha, right, in Nepal. Gurkha people, very tough, but very noble at the same time. And they enlisted the Sikh people. So by enlisting and taking care of these Kshatriya-spirited people, they were able to extend their kingdom. But then Gandhi came along, messed up the whole arrangement. Such is the law of karma. with his non-violence idea. So here, particularly the reason why Vritrasura is such a great devotee is enunciated in this verse. You have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Vasudeva. Vasudeva also means one who lives everywhere, who is always situated in pure goodness. So even on the battlefield, Vritrasura, by his devotional mentality, he was able to be completely Krishna conscious and detached. Even though there was a great battle going on, and I think at this point he'd already lost his right arm. Indra had cut it off. But he was still in Krishna consciousness. So, this is very explanatory. That actually we're not situated in a place. We're situated in a place of consciousness. You may be located in one place according to a map. But your real location is in terms of consciousness. There's an example there in the Panchatantra. It said the bug may sit on the throne of the king, but he's not the king. He's in the location of the throne, but he's not the king. So the location of the devotee is in transcendence, even within the material sphere. This is the important point. Because his heart has been captured by the lotus feet of Krishna. We are captured by the material modes because we don't know Krishna. Because we have no attachment for Krishna. No realization of Krishna. And therefore, we are searching for happiness in the dead material energy. Sri Sri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sundar Lili, Vishaka, Gomata, Shalagram Maharaj, Giri Govardhan, Tulsi Maharani, Ki Jai. So this is the problem, the lack of Krishna consciousness. And in Kali Yuga, how do you become Krishna conscious? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You avoid offenses, live with devotees, study the Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna, and go back to Godhead. Confirmed. It's as simple as that. You don't have to speculate, you just have to practice. And one person once asked me in a Gita class, I have a friend that's interested in Krishna consciousness. How can you convince them that it's correct? I said, yes, well, according to the Shastra, if you study the Shastra, it's very wonderful. It's very logical. It's very cohesive. If you study the words of the Acharya, the Sadhu, their understanding of the Shastra, you will see it's consistent, very satisfying. But that is not the example given in the Uddhava Gita. The Uddhava Gita gives the example that if you practice Krishna consciousness, that just like a hungry man, when he takes nice foodstuffs, he finds three things happen. He finds his hunger is placated, he feels a sense of satisfaction, and he gains strength and energy. So similarly, if we actually practice Krishna consciousness, the best proof is, you can say almost, is empirical. Because if you chant Hare Krishna, your hunger for spiritual and material understanding will be satisfied. You'll become enlightened by the grace of Paramatma and Guru and Sadhu. And you'll be satisfied by this knowledge. It will resonate within the soul, because it is non-different from the soul. The soul will wake up with this transcendental knowledge. And then you become invigorated in the service of Krishna. Yes, Vritrasura, Manmana, he's fixed his mind, Bhavamad Bhakto, in a devotional mentality, deliberately, by the grace of Guru, Narada Muni in his previous life, but also this has invigorated Manmanabha Madhyaji. So the devotee, entranced with the beautiful relationship with the Supreme Lord and his devotees, acts for the Supreme Lord, Madhyaji. He performs everything as an offering to his beloved Lord. And Mam Namaskuru. As he realizes Krishna, he realizes his debt to Krishna. We're existing by the grace of Krishna and the spiritual master. So, filled with this mood, he offers obeisances and respects to the Supreme Lord for giving him existence. What to speak of Chit Ananda Swarup, eternally. So the devotee lives in this consciousness and is not shaken, because he has, what's that verse? Vishavishan, Raso Vajam Rasopyasya Param Drisvani Vartate. Because he's getting the higher taste, so he's got no attraction for the lower thing. Nobody looks for the worst thing on the menu. You always look for the nice thing on the menu, what you pleases you. So the devotee who has attained Krishna consciousness is never dissuaded, never distracted by the lower thing. Prabhupada was once asked, Prabhupada, sometimes devotees fall down. Prabhupada said, no, devotees never fall down. Because they weren't devotees, they fell down. They were putting on a show. They were not fixed in devotion. Devotees don't fall down. So we should understand that to be called a devotee is not a matter of tilak and dhoti and kurta and so on and so forth, or even going to Mangalarti. It is a matter of dedication of the heart. Yetam mam prapajante. Krishna responds to the consciousness of the devotee, not the clothing. So this is very important. And that consciousness is under our control. We are Vibhinaṃsa. We have free will. So we can exert our consciousness, our will, in certain directions. Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, we have in minute form. So Vitrasura, by grace of Narada Muni, he has become a great devotee. And Indra is very much appreciating that. So we'll read Indra's other verses appreciating. I think it starts, yeah. Verse 19. Indra Uvacha. Indra said, this is number 19 and we're 21. O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, and the friend of everyone. You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Then today's verse. O Vitrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee. You see, you have adopted by choice. This is the point. And have fixed your mind. You have fixed your mind. Not that Krishna will grab your mind and control it. No, you have chosen on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated in pure goodness, transcendence. Yes, Vitrasura and King Indra spoke about devotional service even on the battlefield in this way. And then as a matter of duty, they again began fighting. My dear king, both of them were great fighters and were equally powerful. So this is the point. If we want to be devotee, it's just a matter of desire. Huh? Do you want to be a devotee? Well, if you associate with devotees, yes, you will want to be a devotee. sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sava shastra hoy, lava mata sadhusanga, sava siddhi hoy. So this is the importance of the devotee surrendering to another devotee who is exalted. This is the spiritual master. One should search for an uttamadhikari and surrender at his lotus feet. Take his association, take his advice. And then you can transcend the material modes very easily by the service to such an exalted personality. In the previous life, that's what Vitrasor had done. He was a great king, a great kshatriya. His spirit is coming out here on the battlefield, and named Chitraketu. It comes in the later part of the canto, and Chitraketu. Yes, so he had many, many, many wives. I think it says in the Bhagavad he had millions. He was the emperor of Surasena, and it doesn't explain which yuga this took place in. But unfortunately, though he was unrivaled king and looking after the praja, the people, very nicely, and everyone was happy and satisfied, he couldn't get a son. So even though he had unlimited wives available, none of them could produce a son for him. So he was very much distressed by this, particularly Kshatriya. He wants his dynasty. He wants to train a good son and hand over the kingdom and the responsibilities. But that was not so. You can understand his distress. I don't have a son, and everything is void. So even though he was the big king and the big palace and the big entourage and the big praising and the poetry and the dancing and the festivals, it was all just like no taste. Just like if you go in the MVT and you take something and it has no taste. So you order a big thali and a pizza and God knows what, but you eat it and there's no taste. So because his desire was not fulfilled, then nothing else was tasty. He was not enjoying any material rasa. So one day, by providence, by Supreme Lord's arrangement, Angira Muni came to visit. He was traveling all over the universe. Angira Muni is a great rishi, great sage, can travel throughout the universe unlimitedly, above the material modes, controlling material elements to a certain degree. And he was wonderfully received by King Chitraketu. Chitraketu served him nicely. And then Angira Muni, by his mystic opulence, could understand the mentality of the king. But he inquired all the same, is there some anomaly, some problem that is distressing you? And then King, yes, I have so many wives and I have so much responsibility, but I can't get a son. So then Angira Muni, he said, well, I will arrange that you get a son, but this son will be the source of great happiness and also great distress. But anyway, that's better than nothing. Chitraketu, you can imagine. So yes, so Angira Muni engaged that sage that we talked about earlier, Tasta. He was a great rishi, of course, as we say, and he created through yajna a portion of sweet rice, and that was given to the favored wife of Chitraketu. Her name was Kritiduti, if I remember correctly. She took that sweet rice And then by receiving the semen of Chitraketu, she bore him a son eventually. So the palace was joyous, the Praja were happy, the king has a son. Those were the days when the king, the Kshatriyas and the people, they were all a big family. Everyone knew their role in society, Varnashram. There was no speculation. Everyone was engaged according to their nature and satisfied. And everyone was reaching perfection under the direction of Surasena, who was a very pious king. So the king, the child was born and he became, of course, the pet son, the only son of Chitraketu, but the pet son of the whole empire, bringing great joy to everyone. However, there's always a worm in the apple, and that was the co-wives, in the material world anyway, no, in the spiritual world, became very envious, because they weren't getting any sweet rice. They weren't getting any children. Angira had just given the one son. And they became envious, and it increased day by day. And eventually they poisoned the son, you can imagine. So women sometimes act as a wild card. They do things that are very bold and unpredictable. They killed the son. So, of course, then the other side came into operation. The whole nation, the whole kingdom was in lamentation. Such a beautiful son, the darling of everyone, and now he's gone. Yes, what happened? Yes. Then, so, at this point, Angira Muni returned with Narada Muni. Narada Muni, when the whole kingdom and the palace particularly was in lamentation. And they wanted to calm down and take away the distress of Chitraketu. So they spoke very tactfully and nicely, spiritual instruction. That yes, this is the material world. But the king Chitraketu wanted his son back. So Angira Muni chanted mantras, performed a yajna, and the son came back to life. He was there on the palanquin. And it's very similar to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know the kirtan in Srivas Thakur's house? And the one son died, son of Srivas Thakur, right? But Srivas said, don't tell anyone, it'll disturb the kirtan. But Lord Chaitanya knew that something had happened, and he inquired from Srivas Thakur. He said, well, my son has died. And then the Lord Chaitanya brought the son back. And very similar instructions that son gave to as the son of Chitraketu. The son of Chitraketu said, well, you consider me your son and you my father. But what is this? Was I your son before this life? Will I be your son in future? Will you be my father in future? Were you my father before? So this is all temporary. And he gave the example that sometimes through river, sand is accumulated in one place. And then it's dissipated. So in the same way, people come together, they form families, nations, and then they're separated. He said, this is all the illusory energy of the Lord. It is happening, it is a real event, but it is temporary, so it is not considered reality. Reality means eternality. So, these instructions of the Son, and Narada Muni, and Angira Muni, of course, this had a great effect on Chitraketu. He started to realize the temporal nature, dukkalayam asashvatam, of this material world. Why should I fix my mind upon happiness in a place where happiness does not exist? Everything is a dance of fireflies In the night, the fireflies, they dance and they sparkle. But then in the morning, everything is gone. It's of no consequence. So, understanding that in a sober mood, he was given a mantra by Narada. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam. Yes. Vasudev Tubhyam. And it's a mantra worshipping the Chaturvyuha and Vasudev. So Narada advised him, you chant this mantra and your unhappiness will be dissipated. You will be touched by the Supreme Lord through his mantra, and all your distress and anxiety, confusion will be placated, and you'll taste the nectar of transcendence. So the Chitraketa did so, and it's explained there that through chanting this mantra very carefully for a few weeks only, they explained there in the text, he became very elevated in consciousness. And the first stage was that in this elevation of consciousness and potency, from just a few weeks of chanting very sincerely, like we say in today's verse, adopting the mentality of a devotee through the events had broken his material attachments, and then Narada Muni had given him the avenue to transcendence, to transcendental consciousness, so he was feeling wonderful. So it's explained there in the Bhagavatam that therefore he became the ruler of the Vidyadharis. The Vidyadharis are similar to the Apsaras. They're the society ladies of the heavenly planets. But the Vidyadharis, Vidyadhari Loka is, it's in the Swargaloka region, but it's a lower section. It's not quite up to the Indra standard. But he became the ruler of that eventually. And then he engaged the Vidyadharis, and it's also explained there that on the battlefield here, not in that section of the Bhagavatam, but in some other purports of Prabhupada, it explains that the Vidyadharis, they welcome heroes to the heavenly regions. Huh? So they're very eager to welcome great heroes that die on the battlefield. They don't, because when they arrive up there in Vidyadhari Loka, they're already fully grown with a new sattva gun body, and the Vidyadhari is saying, oh, these are great heroes that fought like kings fearlessly. They're the man for me. So they Vidyadharis, they welcome these personalities, and it's explained there during the battle they are observing, and they are, oh, look at him, he's a great fighter, he's a great hero. So women like that. Nowadays the men have become feminized, and the men have become the women have become menized. But like we're saying, the Kshatriyas, noble, the Brahmins, they're also noble, truthful, not liars, austere. Vaishyas is another thing. If you're a Vaishya, generally you have to twist the truth and even lie from morning to evening to get the money. So, anyway, the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, they are very attractive, particularly the Kshatriyas to the women. Oh, virile, powerful, strong, domineering. That's what I like. He's a tree upon which I may be a creeper. So, the Vidyadharis, though, were being engaged by Chitraketu, because he continued with his sadhana and he became more and more in bhava. So he was traveling all over the universe in a aeroplane with an entourage of Vidyadharis, and they were chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. They were chanting the glories of Krishna. Eventually they arrived at the place of Lord Shiva at the base of Sumeru mountain. The universe, if you look from Brahmaloka, pivots around Sumeru. and there's different jambuvip is in the middle, and then there's different circular areas, so on and so forth, on the gross plane. So he saw Lord Shiva there with Parvati sitting on his lap, on his left knee. That's very interesting in the Mahabharata. Anyway, that's a pastime with Uttara and Arjuna. He became the dancing teacher. And Uttara used to sit on the right lap. So the wife sits on the left leg or the left side of the husband, the daughter on the right side. Anyway, so Lord Shiva was there in the company of great sages, and Chitraketu, maybe a little bit intoxicated, maybe a little challengingly, maybe driven by the pushings of the Supreme Lord, he said, "Oh, who is this? Lord Shiva, you're supposed to be a great yogi, but in the company of sages, you're embracing your wife, she's sitting on your lap." So, of course, Chitraketu is a great devotee with great understanding, insight, who is actually glorifying Lord Shiva. But also he didn't want Lord Shiva, he was thinking, this is not correct, because people don't understand that Lord Shiva is such a great yogi, detached. He's not a mundane person agitated by the presence of his wife. So therefore, is this good that it goes on? So he was bringing the subject up. That these great personalities, they should act in what he considered an exemplary fashion. Of course, Lord Shiva is always exemplary because he is non-different practically from the Supreme Lord, and he has particular function as the Lord and with Durga Devi, Parvati, of being the master of the material energy through the false ego. So Lord Shiva, he smiled, and the other sages smiled, but Parvati was not pleased by this challenging upstart. He said, "Oh, so you know you are in a position to correct Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by Lord Brahma and all the great rishis and all great devotees, and you are correcting him because I am sitting on his lap? Don't you know that you know better than Lord Brahma?" Sarcasm, actually. "Don't you know that great personalities are not bound by this mundane rules and social regulations? Don't you know that?" So she said, "You will become a demon. You will take birth in the family and become a demon in your next life." So Chitraketu, he got down from, and he paid obeisances to Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva and said, "I accept your curse. Whatever it has come by the arrangement of providence, so therefore I accept it." Even though he was competent to push it aside. So this is very similar, actually, also Sati and Daksha. So Lord Shiva, he's a great avaduta in that sense. He's beyond all material rules and regulations. And those that are tinged by material understanding, they may find his activities beyond the pale and a bit odd. But the great devotees, they understand that everything that such a personality as Lord Shiva performs is instructive and beneficial for mankind. But it has to be understood through devotion, through hearing from the spiritual authorities. Then one can have insight into these great personalities. If we just speculate, read books without guidance from the spiritual master, we will misunderstand the situation. So, that is how Chitraketu appeared as Vitrasura through this offense to Mother Parvati. There was no offense meant, but Mother Parvati took it in that way. So it's a very interesting situation to contemplate. And it's explained that if you understand this and you recite this story of Chitraketu, Vitrasura, Lord Indra, then you will also become free of all sinful reactions. Chitraketu, he took the curse and he said, a curse from such great personality can only be for my benefit. And so this is the actual event, that he took birth from the yajna performed by Tushta with the mentality of, I'm going to destroy Indra through the yajna. But through his past devotion, there's no loss. Whatever realization and attachment you gain to the Supreme Lord, that may be covered, but it's never lost. It's always there, ready to be uncovered. So, on the battlefield, the devotional qualities of Vitrasura comes forward. And he's saying, you can kill me. I don't care. But let's fight. Come on now. Just like verse 24 there. He said, but we have a duty to fight. So it's explained there that the battle went on. And then eventually Indra cut off the left arm of Vitrasura. And Vitrasura looked very beautiful without arms. He expanded his body. And he lay down on the battlefield. And he drew Indra with Airavata, his elephant, and thunderbolt within himself through his gigantic mouth. And there, having defeated Indra in that way, he thought, now let me give up my body. What is the use of this body? Everything is done. And so then his body, his life has became peaceful, and Indra at this point was able to use his thunderbolt and cut his way out of the belly of Vitrasura. And then the people on the battlefield saw the soul of Vitrasura entering transcendence, leaving this material world. So a very colorful way to go back to Godhead. A few lifetimes also included. You never know what lies before you. Anyway, so we should understand like that Krishna arranges so many circumstances, so many lifetimes for those who have taken shelter of him, and helps them to cultivate their dedication to Krishna consciousness. So we have desire, but Krishna arranges everything. When we have no desire to be a devotee, then we're very much under the control of the modes of material nature here. Like it says here, demon is conducted by passion. But devotees, they should cultivate goodness, because from that platform they can realize Krishna more easily. But the main point is knowledge, association, this is all very key factor, but ultimately the principle that makes you a devotee is your choice. So we have to understand that, that sincerity, sincere devotion from the soul of the devotee is what attracts Krishna, and that's what makes the devotee. So we'll finish on that point. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chitraketu Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Sadhu Sangha, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai.